Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Hem Securities Limited, I, Astha Jain, Senior Research Analyst from Hem Securities, thank you all for joining Sustainable Technologies Limited H1 FY24 Earnings Conference Call. Joining us on the call today are the senior members of the management team, Mrs. Vinita Rathi, Managing Director, and Mr. Nilesh Rathi, Executive Director and CFO, Sustainable Technologies Limited. We will commence the call with the opening thoughts from the management, post which will open the forum for Q&A session, where the management will be glad to respond to any queries that you may have. Starting with the session, I would like to state that you will be kept on mute throughout the event, and all the questions will be asked by typing them in Q&A chat box or by raising hands during or end of the session. In case if we miss answering any question due to time constraint, then you can mail your queries to cs@sustango.com. Before we go on to the main call, I would like to read the standard disclaimer. There may be forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinion, and expectation of the company's management as on the date of this call. The company do not assume any obligation to update their forward-looking statement if those belief, opinion, expectation, or other circumstances should change. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Consequently, listeners should not place any undue reliance on such forward-looking statement. With this, I will hand over the call to the management to take it forward. Over to you, Vinita ma'am.
Thank you, Astha. Thank you, everybody, for joining this call. I would like to give a quick overview of Sustango, especially for the new audience, followed by the financials. And then, as Astha said, we can open the forum for question and answer. So I'm sure majority of you are already aware, Sustango is a digital engineering services company. We work a lot with growth stage, early stage companies, and a part of it is also enterprise. And how we differentiate ourselves is by, like, you know, the agility and the partnership that we build with our customers. We take pride on maintaining the boutique firm's loyalty and personalized attention that we're able to offer to our customers. At a very high level, we, like, you know, continue to be ISO 27001, 9001 certified. We have three offices right now, one out of London, one out of Washington, D.C., and then Indore in India. We continue to be 300 plus employees across the globe. And we are still an approved supplier on Government of UK platform. We recently gotten ourselves certifications for Web3, for blockchain. We also have very recently, I think it was 4 months ago, gotten an award from DNA Paris for our designs. We have also been able to, like, you know, get ourselves listed on Clutch, which is a review and verification company, to give us a top generative AI award as well. So we continue to, like, position ourselves within Web3, blockchain, AI, ML, generative AI space as a leader and as a company that continues to learn new technologies and, like, you know, deliver to its customer base. In terms of technology verticals, we do, like, you know, a lot of legacy modernization work. We have, like, you know, at the core of who we are a web application and mobile application company. But then we have built a lot of expertise within AI, ML, business intelligence, big data, Web3, blockchain, cloud. And we have also developed in last 6 months new practices such as Rust as well. Our current focus areas of services are three, basically. So, like, you know, one is the cloud implementation, cloud service. So we are a cloud native company. We have been working with our customers to move them from on-premise to different clouds. We, in last 6 months, also have started building relationship with hyperscalers such as Google Cloud, Amazon, as well as Microsoft. So you would see, like, you know, those details in the slides that we have uploaded earlier today. But now we are an Adobe partner. We are also an Amazon partner, and we're on track to become a Google partner as well. So that's, like, one area we're focusing very hard on that will give us hyperscaler-led growth. The second area of our focus right now is data engineering and machine learning services. We have been building this team for last 2 years. However, in last 1 year, we have focused a lot on generative AI. So, we have rolled out systems in production that uses generative AI across, different language models. And the third focus area for us is Web3 and blockchain solutions. We work with our customers, bring their solution on blockchain, and then also do a lot of peripheral services, such as Web3 application development, wallet development, etc. From a geography perspective, our focus continues to be USA, UK, and Europe. Having said that, we have now started focusing on Africa as well. Going straight to our financials, the one thing that I would like to highlight is usually our first half is always slower than our second half. So that is what I would like all our investors to keep in mind. Having said that, we did about 29 crore in revenue in the first half of this year. Our EBITDA was about 9.77 crore. Our PAT was at 8.14. And if you compare it with how we did in previous year's first half, we had a 34% revenue growth on the same period last year. From EBITDA perspective, I think we grew again by 80% over the same period last year. And I think one of the things that I would like to highlight is that our first 6 months after we gotten ourselves listed on stock exchange has been highly focused on how do we grow ourselves and what is it that we do next. And so the objective of IPO was really to grow Sistango organically and inorganically, right? And a part of it has gone into our organic expansion in our London office. So you would see that we have added a 30-year experienced sales director out of our UK office who's going to cover UK as well as EMEA. We have also added a 12-year plus experienced head of growth who's now looking after our marketing digital, our presence across anything digitally. And we are also in the process of hiring few more and what we call as our front office. So that's what we have been doing in last 6 months, other than also focusing on hyperscaler-based growth. In next 6 months, we also intend to open a new office in Dubai for our expansion in Middle East and Africa. We have already started working with a couple of customers out of Africa. So we believe that this momentum is only going to continue in next 6 months. And other than this, we are constantly focusing on our partnership-led growth. So we have built few partners across UK and USA in last 6 months. That's going to allow us to now grow in the H2 of this year. From a competencies perspective, as I was saying earlier, we continue to focus on AI, ML, cloud, Web3. But one change that we have done in last 6 months is to also focus on Rust. I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but Rust is a upcoming language that a lot of companies are highly focused on, especially when it comes to low-level programming language such as C++. So we are building our expertise in that, and we believe that this is going to land us well with our existing customers as well as acquire new customer. We are also now focusing on building solutions and go through a solution-oriented sales. So as an example, we built an intelligent document processing platform, and now we are going out and giving our consultation to quite a few legal firms based out of US, HR companies based out of UK, and them use this platform to do their own document processing. Similarly, we have developed a few other solutions. So instead of just being a staff augmentation company or IT services company that does bespoke software development, we are building these solutions. And then, either we're going to license this out to our customers, or we are doing completely bespoke implementation, but using this as a base, using this as a foundation. So these are the major, changes that we have done in 6 months, with which we believe, our H2 should be better than, like, you know, the H2 that we had, like, for example, last year. And we should be able to maintain the same growth rate that we have had in last, like, you know, a couple of years. With that, I think I would want to, like, you know, close from my side's overview. But then I would like to hear any questions that our investors have and, like, you know, answer them appropriately.
Thank you, ma'am. With this, we start with Q&A session, requesting all of you to ask the question either by raising hand and unmute yourself or by typing your question in Q&A chat box along with your name and your organization name. Before asking questions, please introduce yourself along with your organization name. So we have a question from Pawan Kumar. Mr. Pawan, please unmute yourself and ask question.
Hi, ma'am. My first question would be regarding the growth outlook itself. In the first half, if I look at your numbers, we have done some 20% growth, if I'm right, as compared to on year-on-year basis. But EBITDA margins have gone down from 33% to 29%. So what I was overall trying to understand is, is this the new trajectory of growth? And number two, what should be the realistic margins that we should be looking at over a medium-term period?
So thank you, Pawan, for your question. I'm just looking at our numbers. So if I look at our consolidated number for September 2023, our EBITDA for this first half is 9.77 crores versus for September 2022 was 5.40 crore on the revenue of 22.39 versus this time on a revenue of 26.92. So in terms of our EBITDA margin, I think we did about 34% this year against 25% last year on the same period. So my understanding is that we have improved on it.
Okay. The other income part of it, does it correspond to the operational income itself? And is it because of foreign exchange fluctuations? Because I think that is where we both are differing in terms of calculation of numbers.
So definitely our other income includes the income that we must have made out of our cash, but then also the forex fluctuation as well.
Okay. And that you are calculating as a part of operating income. Okay, fine.
Yes.
And what about the stabilized long-term, what should be the normalized levels of margins for?
So as a company, we would want to continue to have anything above 25% as our EBITDA margin. That is what, like, you know, we would like to always aim for.
35%?
25% plus.
25% plus. And in terms of employee count, what are we expecting to add going forward in the next one and a half years?
So see, for next 6 months, we believe that we have enough capacity to be able to, like, you know, serve the demand that we are seeing right now and the pipeline that we have. Our growth is not just going to come from our headcount. We are also trying to increase the per hour rate that we charge to our customer by offering specialized services such as, like, you know, as I said, Rust engineering services or AI ML services, cloud, optimization services. So those are the two factors that will actually add to our growth and improve our numbers. Having said that, I think for next 2 years to meet to our goals that we have set for ourselves, and I remember, like, you know, I think last year I said that by the end of 2025, we want to be a 25 million revenue company. In order for us to get there, I think we would be looking at over a headcount of 500 people.
Okay. And if I heard you right, one last thing before I join the queue again. If I heard you right, we are still aiming for revenue growth of maybe excess of 30% what we achieved in the previous years for this year as of now.
That's what I want to aim for, and we believe that we should be able to hit those numbers.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am. I'll join.
Thank you, sir. So, ma'am, we are getting lot many questions in our Q&A chat box also. So, I will read it for you. Okay. The first question is asking, in the last con call, we stated a vision of 250 crore top line in 3 years, FY26, and maintain the same rate of growth for FY24 and 25. Do we still stick to our guidance?
So, I think our first 6 months for this year have been a tough, I would say, first half. And I think I did reflect that when I was saying that I'm very conservative for, like, you know, this first half. So, I wouldn't say that we are still looking for, like, a 60% growth in financial year 24, which we're going to end, like, you know, in March. I think, as I was saying earlier, we are looking at 30% growth for this year. And then, however, we are still aiming for, like, you know, a 25 million revenue for 25, like at the end of 25, so like 3 years from now.
Okay. The next question is, what is the growth guidance in the terms of revenue and profit for next 2 years?
So it's difficult for me to predict, like, you know, for the next 2 years. I think, however, for this year, we definitely want to close it with a 30% growth rate by, like, you know, the end of March 24. And that's what we are aiming for at the moment. And that's what our pipeline is also.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Another question is asking, what is the reason for the muted growth in current quarter?
So one of the challenge that we have had in the first 6 months, and I don't think this is like particularly just for Sistango, but I think this is for IT sector in general, that we definitely see a slowdown in terms of demand and customers getting very conservative when it came to signing on new initiatives and new projects, which is why our first goal for this first 6 months was to maintain the same revenue that we had for H2 of our last year, right? Having said that, as I was saying earlier, we believe that our H2 is always better than H1. Historically, that has been the case. And looking at the status right now, we are already mid-November. I believe our H2 is going to be better than, like, you know, H1 and last year's H2.
Right. Another question is, you stated that H2 is better than H1. I think it is in continuation of what we were discussing right now. So in FY23, 40% of the revenue come in H1 and 60% come in H2. Can we expect H2 FY24 will also be 60% of FY24, approximately 60%?
So we are definitely aiming to cross 65 plus CR this year. That's what, like, you know, we have aimed for ourselves. I can't really think of in my head right now if that's going to be 60%.
Okay. No issues. No issues. Can you share industry or vertical or geographic mix for H1 FY24? In terms of revenue.
So I don't have these numbers with me at the moment. And
no
we can
issues.
Like, we share it afterwards.
So requesting all the participants that they can email us at cs@sistango.com in case if any query remain unanswered. Okay. The next question is saying, can you share the current headcount and the TTM attrition rate?
So I don't have attrition rate for this year. I think our attrition rate for last year was about 17%. Our current headcount is 301 at the moment globally.
Okay. The next question is, in last 6 months, did we add any new client or just retained all old clients? Are we supporting in banking, any banking customer also, and any plans to increase headcount? So there are three parts in the one single question.
Right. So we have definitely added new customers. There was a slowdown in old customer, like, you know, which is why we went conservative for this first half and, like, you know, we worked very hard on building our pipeline. So we have added new customers, especially, like, you know, in Africa and in UK as well as in USA.
Okay.
Are we supporting any banking customer? Not at the moment. We are not supporting any banking customer at the moment. And any plan to increase headcount? As I said, our current capacity allows us to meet the goals that we have for this year. However, we do have plans to, increase our headcount over the next 2 years.
Right. So the next question is from Nitin James. Please unmute yourself, sir, and ask question.
Hi, I had two questions. One is with respect to your current investments. You have a substantial chunk parked in current investments. Could you throw some light on what that is and what is the intended purpose of having such a big number there?
So I'm guessing that you're referring to the cash position that we have of about 50 to 55 crore on
Yeah,
our balance sheet.
yes. Yes.
And that also includes the funds that we have raised from IPO, right?
Okay.
We are currently parking these funds either in FDs or in liquid funds.
Okay.
The objective of our IPO, one of the major objective of our IPO was to do a inorganic expansion, right? And so we have been on hunt for acquiring a company out of London that gives us consultancy power based out of London, right? And this thing takes some time, so we are still talking to them. We have already identified somebody who we are very interested in. We are also working with them. I think over next 12 months is when these funds will be put to use in some shape and format.
Okay. My second question is, do we provide any services to any entities, and we get paid in terms of equity shares rather than cash? Do we do any such transaction? If yes, what is the quantum of that?
So we don't do only equity. Any deal that we do is either all cash or majority of it in cash, but then some equity. This is probably only maybe 10 to 15% of our the work that we do.
So the amount in current investment of that 52 crores, how much of that is unquoted equity shares which you've got for services?
So the 52 crore that you're referring to is all in cash, in FDs,
Okay.
and in mutual funds, like liquid funds.
Okay. And what is the quantum of equity shares you got for clients whom you work? And which is there on your balance sheet? Is there a number you could provide?
I think I will defer to my team to give you those numbers, and we can certainly include this.
Fair enough. If I could just slip in one other question. Out of the total revenue for H1, what kind of percentage is 10% of the revenue coming by way of equity shares for us instead of cash? Is that assumption correct, or it's going to be much lower?
It's going to be much lower, probably 2%, 1% maybe.
1%. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all I had.
Thank you. Since not many questions are coming in Q&A chat box, so I will be continuing with that. Another question is saying, what is the percentage of revenue from top one or top five or top 10 customer in H1 FY24?
So I will say our top 10 customer contributes to about 40 to 45% of our revenue.
Okay, fine. Another question is asking, 1 second. Can you elaborate on the products and the solutions which you intend to license? How much will go in the product development?
So, one of the product that I was referring to is an intelligent document processing platform, right? What that allows us to do is upload your document and ask questions, right? And you can do those question answers over multiple documents. So think of this, as an investor, you receive a lot of documents from the companies that you invest in. You can go on this platform and upload your documents that you have received from these companies. These could be financial documents, these could be investor presentations, or these could even be prospectus. And then you can ask questions to these documents via this platform. So you can ask the question that I was asked just now, which is, what is the percent revenue from top 10 customers in H1 FY24? So instead of text-based search, it will allow you to do a natural language-based search. And this is like, you know, a foundation that we have built. What we are trying to now do is go to different industries and demonstrate that as a use case. And like, you know, see what are the document intensive operations that they do in those industries. And then like, you know, acquire client. That has been one of our strategy in last 6 months, where like, you know, we have been able to acquire 3 to 4 customers just for doing implementation after seeing the demonstration of that platform. Now, we don't necessarily like license the platform that we have built so far, largely because some of our customer wants to retain IP of the product that we build for them, right? In that case, this platform that we have built just becomes demonstration of our capability within that technology. And then, like, you know, we do a build for them from scratch. So that's like one way of approaching this. The second is, when our customers, what we are saying now to our customers is that if you don't want us to build everything from scratch, what we can do is we can just use this platform and build a business layer on top of it to do customization, like for you, for your use case, for your industry. We haven't like came across a customer that wants us to do that. But that's where we are heading at the moment. So that's an intelligent document processing platform that I was referring to earlier. Similarly, we have built a few implementations using Rust. So Rust is a programming language that is being used right now for low latency, like, you know, softwares and systems at the moment. So instead of building in Python, instead of building in C++, community is moving towards Rust because of its low memory utilization and because of, like, you know, the cost that they incur for running a microservice written in Rust. And I'm sorry if I'm getting too technical, but that is what Rust as a programming language is. So we have built a microservice layer where we are able to demonstrate how it is different from something written in Python or how it is different from something written in C++. So we have written a database that is built in Rust, and we are able to demonstrate these KPIs via, like, you know, that solution. How much will go in product development? These aren't necessarily like products. What we call in our world is, this is solution-oriented sales. So rather than just saying, hey, we can build a web application for you or we can do cloud deployment for you, now we say that, hey, we have built this platform, like, you know, that either you can use just out of the box or we can do something very similar for you. So these are the solutions that are literally helping our pre-sales team and sales team to go out and, like, you know, sell Sustango to them.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Another question is, by when do you think the company will come out of the NSE Emerge platform? Lot size of 1600 shares is a big deterrent for trading in company shares.
So I think we're already at 400, if I know it correctly, from a lot size perspective. So we have already gotten down from 1600 to 400. For the answer, when we're going to get out, I think I don't know the answer yet. Again, like, you know, I can email.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Another question is asking, are we facing any delays, cancellations of some order due to slowdown in demand?
So we had that, like, you know, again, back in May, June, July. I think that's when we had our last con call where I spoke about being conservative about the market. I don't think now we are seeing, like, you know, better demand. It's all resuming back again. So now we aren't seeing that.
Okay. Another question is asking, how do you plan to utilize the cash sitting on the balance sheet? Have not utilized IPO amount?
So as I mentioned earlier, the goals for IPO, one was, like, you know, to fill our working capital gap. And this was to build the solutions that we are building and move towards more solution-oriented sales and differentiate ourselves from, like, 100 other IT companies. The second goal was to build more organic presence in London and in US. That's what we are already doing. And third was to facilitate an inorganic, like, you know, growth, and which was to either establish JVs or, like, you know, acquire a company. As I mentioned earlier on the call, we are already in the process of doing that. We are already starting to work with those companies as well. So, like, you know, I think we are maybe about 6 months to 12 months away from it at the moment, but that's what the fund's going to be used for.
Okay. Another question is, your 25 million USD revenue guidance is for FY25 or FY26. Can you please clear?
So I think it will become FY26. What we are saying is by end of 2025, that's where we want to reach.
Okay. Another question is, can you share current order book or TCV?
So, but just by virtue of the sector that we work in, which is like, you know, growth stage company, we don't necessarily have an order book. We are just starting to keep, like, build that now. And like, you know, we have, say, for example, 3 to 4 customers who are already in pipeline, again, using these solutions that we have built. But these all are like growth stage companies. And our conversion, like, of a customer happens within like 4 weeks. So we don't necessarily have a long sales cycle either.
Okay. We have a next question from Manan Madlani. Can you please unmute yourself and ask a question? Mr. Manan, are you there? Manan Madlani, can you just ask your question, sir? Please unmute yourself. Sorry, we are not able to hear you.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, you are audible now. Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for that. So I just had follow-up question. You mentioned about acquisition based in London. So what sort of service that company provides, and what would be the size of that company? Is their company margins are in line with us, or is it lower or higher?
So we have not gotten to a point where we have started evaluating their balance sheet. I think right now what we are looking for and what we are trying to build is that there is a right fit. I am very wary of that. One of the challenges that usually a company has, at least of our size, when it tries to acquire another company's integration, how well the new company is able to integrate with, like, you know, the existing company. And that's what we are evaluating right now. The company is specialized for AI ML Web3 blockchain space. And one of the reasons why we are keen to acquire a company like that and any other company similar to that is for building our product ownership, project management team based out of UK, along with our sales and marketing expertise. So that's what we believe that this company has, and that's what we are trying to evaluate. As a next step, what we are thinking of doing is work on, like, you know, a couple of customers together and see if that adds the value that we believe is going to add, like, you know, to Sistango in terms of the rates that we charge, in terms of the revenue that we are able to make. And again, like, also evaluate the margins that we will be able to make on those projects.
Okay. Do we need to raise any further fund to, to acquire that?
That's a question that I don't know the answer of right now. I believe that the extra cash flow that we will be able to generate in next, 6 to 12 months should be sufficient for us to be able to acquire that just on our own and without raising any external funds.
Okay. And do you see any pressure on the revenue side for next year, first half, with the US recession and all those things going on? Or do you see improvement from here onwards?
So, Manan, I did say about this earlier also. We definitely were under pressure for the first 6 months of this year, especially in the month of June, July. Now we have started seeing demand coming back again. And we are acquiring customers like the way we acquired last year, similar time. So we see that there is a massive improvement, especially in the sector where we operate.
Okay. Recently we saw that in USA, BlackRock might launch the ETF about Ethereum. So do we get any sort of benefit due to such initiative?
Absolutely. So we have a very strong presence in Web3 and blockchain. And if you are already tracking that, I'm sure you're also tracking what's happening within crypto world in general, right? That means that all the Web3 blockchain companies who were wanting to work in the space are starting to become active again, with the hopes that this is going to go through, right? We believe that this is going to actually help us.
Okay. The last question would be, what sort of peer do we see in India or internationally, so that we can, track or identify how the industry is going? Is there any player?
So, that's not something necessarily that I do, on a regular basis. So, the company's name that I would quote are probably going to be just too big, for us to compare against.
Yeah, other than Accenture, let me just say that way.
Well, there's ThoughtWorks also, right? So I'm saying that those names are just too big to be compared against. From the company, from anything of similar size, I just can't recall any name from top of my head right now.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's it from my side. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Since we are getting many questions, so would like to request the participant, please limit your questions to two. And we will take your questions later on. The next in the queue is Mr. Naveen Bansal. So please go ahead, unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thanks, Asha. First of all, congratulations, Rita, to present good numbers as compared to YOY. So my question is, in first meeting, you stated that you'll 30% growth at YTD level. Right. So in September 23, you had raised 27 crore sales. So according to that statement, your revenue should be for YTD 65 crore, right?
For this year, yes.
Right. And the same EBITDA margin is like 30%?
I mentioned this earlier also. I think our aim will be to be 25% plus.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thanks, Vinita.
Thank you. Mr. Balaji Kasal, can you please unmute yourself and ask your question?
Thanks, Asha, for giving the opportunity. Vinita, just one query. I understand you are working with new technologies and, across multiple verticals. Just wondering how we are differentiating or putting our USP, putting forward to the customer so that, we are more preferred partner to development of their stack and software for them. This is the only question I have. Thank you.
So, ever since we have really consolidated ourselves and built our collaterals and whatnot, I think one thing that we have always tried making sure we communicate to our customers that we are one of those companies who build partnership with its customers. And that partnership is not just by saying partnership, but we actually work with them to understand their product, do competitor analysis, and really add value. And which is why we do so much work in growth stage sector and early stage sector, because that's what that sector demands and that we are able to offer. And we supplement that by working in niche technologies, right? So early Web3 blockchain, now AI, ML. We started working very early on Rust also. I don't think there are many companies from India of our size that has Rust capabilities, for example, or that has generative AI capabilities the way we have right now with systems that we have rolled out in production for our customers. And I think these two aspects really differentiates us amongst our other peers.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Really, I think you are doing a great job. If you are able to grow next 2 to 3 years or 5 years sitting in Indore globally in this new technology, it's really great achievement. All the best to all the team.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Anupama Suresh Kumar. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. So I just like last call you said, and now also you're saying that you want to focus more on Web3 and blockchain. So I just wanted to know if you're doing, have you taken up any new project in H1 FY24? Can you elaborate, like give us some detail about it?
Sure. So we are not just focusing on Web3 blockchain. We have three focus areas right now. One of them is Web3 blockchain. Others are, you know, AI, ML data and cloud. We have taken on new customers. We have also taken on Web3 and blockchain customer as well in the first half.
Okay. Do you have any project in mind? Like you can give us some explanation about like.
As in like what kind of block, what kind of project it is? That's what you're asking?
Yeah.
So if you know OpenSea, for example, which is an NFT marketplace, we have built a similar marketplace for one of our customer for other blockchains. So not just like, you know, EVM based blockchain. That's like one of the product that we have built in last 6 months. And like, you know, if you need more details, I mean, I think maybe in the interest of time, we can probably also talk offline and I can give you more details. But there are several of those product blockchain platforms that we have built in last 6 months.
Yeah, sure. One more question. Just so like I was going through your site. So there are a lot of case studies in web development also. So I just wanted to know how are you trying to focus now more on AI, ML, web blockchain? Like coming far from the web development side.
So see, web development, mobile development, mobile application development, QA, these all are like peripheral services now. Anything that you build in AI ML is never just AI ML. Like, you know, it will always require a web interface, be it web 2, web 3.
Right.
And so it goes for blockchain also. Even if it is a blockchain application, it requires a backend, it requires a frontend, it requires some centralized microservices. So in my opinion, you know, your web application, mobile application, QA services are never going to go anywhere. They are just peripheral. Every single customer that you sign up, be it for blockchain, AI, ML, will always require those services.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
The next question is asking, how does the organization structure look like? Which industry the top five customer belong to? Is getting skilled talent in Indore a challenge for you? Do you think office in Bangalore, Pune, Mumbai would be better for talent acquisition? Can you elaborate? Okay, I'll ask this question later on because we have so many parts in one single question.
Okay, so I will probably try to just answer the first two that you have read, Asta. So like, you know, we have, I mean, I think as a company, we invest a lot in our people. And so we have quite a few, like, you know, a senior director of engineering who are leading different practices, including a senior vice president as well. And the structure that we are trying to create is that these each, like, you know, senior folks in the company, they run their own practices and they build, like, you know, the team around those. And then we have marketing team, sales team and whatnot. Which industry the top five customer belongs to? Actually, one thing that has gone very well for us in the last 6 months is we have also diversified our customers coming from, like, you know, different sectors. So we have like, you know, an agency that features in top five customer. We have a fantasy sports customer that features in top five customers. We have a blockchain customer that features in top five customer. And we have a hospitality customer that features in top five customer. So like, you know, I think that diversity now we have, I think is going to go a long way, especially when it comes to maintaining our growth in next 2 years. Is getting skilled talent in Indore a challenge for you? Yes, like, you know, I think it has been a challenge. It continues to be a challenge. But I believe that we have just scratched the surface right now, like, you know. And with the ecosystem that we have created within Sistango, I think we actually really, really work a lot on the potential of the individual and are able to leverage that. And hence, that is why we are able to do what we are doing right now, just staying in Indore. So when it comes to talent acquisition in Bangalore, Pune, Mumbai, we do have a few people who are working for us remotely from these cities. But right now, I think our focus for acquisition is like, you know, outside of India, not in India.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Another question is, what kind of acquisition are you looking at? What kind of capabilities do they possess?
So as I was mentioning earlier, around the same topic, that from an acquisition perspective, we are trying to build our front office out of, like, you know, UK and USA, which is where our majority of our customers are based in. And when I say front office, I mean our sales capabilities out of that office, our marketing capabilities out of that office, and also our project management, product ownership, customer success teams out of, like, you know, these offices. So that's what we are looking at in the company, that are we able to, like, you know, get that support when we work with the customer, and are we also able to get better rates because of that structure? So that's the type of company that, like, you know, we are trying to acquire.
Okay, ma'am. Another question is, can you elaborate on sweater, LMS and shoe products? Pardon me, or if I'm, I mean, I don't know whether I'm spelling them right or not. So, I mean, these products they want to know in detail of, and what kind of growth do we expect there?
Sure. So, see, again, I think I touched upon it briefly earlier. We are moving towards a solution-oriented growth. Right. And Swatter is one of the LMS that we have built that we again showcase to our customers and, like, you know, take their feedback. And if they want to use that, or they just use that, see that as a demonstration of our capabilities. Similarly, Shuti, that you see on our website is an implementation that we have done for FinTech platform. Now, we aren't necessarily working towards growing those products user acquisition at the moment. I think our complete focus right now is to really strengthen Sistango and build its presence both organically and inorganically, in UK and USA.
Okay, ma'am. Another question is, approximately in how many years do you foresee achieving the revenue of 1,000 crore?
I think whatever I say will be inappropriate at the moment for 1,000 crores.
Right. And in the interest of time, now I will be taking the last question. So the last question is, can you share how much percentage of revenue is coming from India and how much is from the international?
We don't think that we have any customer in India, maybe probably one or two. And so it's going to be like 0.1.5% maybe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Due to the time limitation, we have to end this call here. However, if you have any queries, please email the same at the cs@sistango.com. In the end, I would like to thank management team of Sistango Technologies Limited for taking time out and responding all the queries in great detail. With this, we are ending this earnings conference call of Sistango. Thank you all for joining us for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone.